بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. There are two or three rulings pertaining to the breakers of wudu which we need to complete. The one aspect is the aspect of doubts. When it comes to our ibadat, we should understand that shaitan capitalizes on waswasa, on irritating a person through creating doubts in his wudu, in his salah, confusing him, making him restless. One of my friends currently is an imam in a certain masjid. So one day he sat with me, he cried. He said, "Maulana, I don't want to be imam." He said, "Every time I go on the musalla, I feel like my wuzu is breaking." And the mufti told me that don't worry about it, but I'm so miserable. I feel like I will be responsible for everybody's salah. Every time I go on the musalla, this happens. Now, a lot of people are caught up with waswasa. Some people, you see them making wudu, washing and washing and washing, sometimes in the toilet, sometimes wudu. Person is not at ease. So, the first thing is, one needs to strengthen one's mind. That there is no better way of doing anything than how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba radiallahu anhu, did it. So I can't be better than Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it in a certain way, wash 3 times, I mustn't wash 7 times now. If that is the way it was taught, that time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used very little water. We are using buckets upon buckets of water in our ghusl, and we are using liters upon liters in our wuzu, and still we are having doubt. So a person has to convince himself and make up his mind. One person, every time he is performing his salah, the thought is coming to him that your wuzu was not correct. You broke your wuzu. So he started to trouble him. So every time he's starting his salah, he breaks his salah, he goes and makes wuzu and he starts again. Sometimes a person has a doubt on his niyat. He is making his niyat for his namaz. And he's standing and he's making niyat. Niyat is not stopping. Namaz is not starting. He's making niyat for me. So shaitan will use one thing, latch onto it and confuse a person. So this person one day he got tired. So he started his salah. So shaitan whispered in his ears that your wuzu is not right. So in his mind he's saying to shaitan, "I don't care." So shaitan said, "And if your wuzu is not right, what you doing? You're wasting your time." So he said, "I don't care." And shaitan is telling him, "Okay, you don't care, but in the day of Qiyamah when you get thrown in Jahannam, then you'll see." He said, "I don't care." So that day he never give in to the waswasa. And he says, from that day, the waswasa stopped. One person was telling me now, he said, from 1970 somewhere till now, how long is that? 40, 50 years. He says, I got this major waswasa problem. He said, I can actually remember the year, the time, the date, whatever. He said, the first time I had waswasa, I had to smack myself. The person is telling, old man, he's telling me, in his 70s, I had to smack myself. He said, but he never stopped. Why he never stopped? Because he never, see, shaitan is a bully. And a bully, as long as he's getting his way with you, and you're giving in to him, he's going to keep on troubling you until you smack him back. So how you smack shaitan back? You don't give in to him. So this person kept on giving in to him. Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Ya Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say from the front, almost every year I remember he used to say in the Khanqa, he used to say, when you have these type of thoughts, sometimes pertaining to Allah Ta'ala, sometimes to regarding Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you must tell yourself and tell shaitan, "I'm really enjoying it." Shaitan will tell you more, and say, "Yeah, I'm enjoying it." It goes against your nature, but you have to tell yourself, "I'm enjoying it." In the highway, you can't stop the traffic. Let the traffic flow. Don't get stuck on the traffic. Let it flow. Let it go. It's going, let it go. The mind is going to continue working. Things will come. But don't get stuck in any of these thoughts. Let it flow. So a person has to develop the strength of mind. And this comes in the company of pious people. Alhamdulillah. When you sit with the pious people, sit with them, make zikr with them, sit in the majalis, then you'll find these qualities will come of strengthening the mind. People talk about being weak-minded, and they talk about being strong-minded. So you find the more a person sits with the pious, then the more he develops this determination. He's convinced, he's determined. So when a person is determined, convinced, then you can't, he's unshakable. Shaitan also can't play with you. Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to come and complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about these waswasas. I don't know if it's Mishkat Sharif, I think it's Mishkat Sharif. That right in the beginning, there's a whole chapter on whispers. And Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi alayh, there's a kitab, transcribed talks, whispers of Shaitan. Maulana, because it's a problem. Anyway, where we started, where we went. So, in wuzu, the ulama say this is a ruling, right? While making wuzu, if there's a particular limb that you are doubting that, did I wash it or not? While making wuzu. For example, now you're washing your feet and you're doubting whether you washed your face. So they say if it's during wuzu, you go back and wash the face and then continue with the feet. If it's after wuzu, you ignore it. So again they say, while making wuzu, if it's a particular limb that you are not sure whether you washed or not, then to remove the doubt, you go back and wash and continue from where you were. But if it's after wuzu, then you ignore it. Then you don't pay attention to it. If you're not sure which limb, but you're just doubting, I never washed something properly. Now what do you do? So they say that the last limb that you were washing, you just wash that. While making wuzu, you just feel like you never wash a particular part of your body, but you don't know which part properly. You wash the last part. For example, you're washing the arms, now you had this doubt, wash the face again. You're washing the feet, then do the last thing again, whatever. So to remove the doubt. So that's one masala. The other masala is regarding touching of the Quran and Majid. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. Nobody is allowed to touch the Quran Sharif if he doesn't have wudu. He can touch the Quran Sharif with a cloth that is not attached to him. So a person takes a cloth, see the students, they know they take the topi off, now it's not attached to them, and then they hold the Quran Sharif. They need to put it away or do something with the Quran Sharif. But if it's like, for example, a book of tafsir, and there's more tafsir, other writing, compared to the words of the Quran and Majid, then there the ruling is, you're allowed to touch it without wuzu. For example, there's a whole page, and there's one ayat written on that page. The rest of the page is a tafsir. So you can touch that page, but you can't touch that ayat. And then the ruling of the cell phone, very, very famous, you must have seen the posters, that if a person has the cell phone and he brings the Quran and he can't touch the verses on the screen, he can't touch the screen, but he can hold the phone when he's not in the state of wudu. All these are rulings. Doesn't mean a person must do it. You don't misunderstand. The adab demands that a person must have wudu. There were some pious people in the past that never touched blank pages without wudu. Because they said this is a suburb of ilm. They never touched blank pages without wudu. There was a non-Muslim boy in my school. I remember after school we were standing outside. And this non-Muslim Hindu or Tamil boy is telling me that I don't put my bag on the floor because these are books and we gain knowledge from them. So we have been taught that we must respect them. They also doing it. But they doing it for worldly knowledge. So for our dini books and deen, how much of respect we must have. So we handled it with wudu. Then there were certain maslas I was explaining. Oh, I didn't explain, I left it out. Where a person's wudu breaks, which is important to understand. In the Shafi Mazhab, if a person touches a woman, skin to skin, bare hands, his own wife also, if it is his own wife also, he's touching her, then their wuzu breaks. So if they, for example, now they're coming for Juma, they took their ghusl, everything, they made their wuzu, and if they just touched, they have to make wuzu again. That's the Shafi Mazhab, right? Not the Hanafi Mazhab. In the Hanafi Mazhab, when the private part of a man touches the private organ of a woman externally, skin to skin, wuzu breaks. Wuzu breaks. And it's written also in Beshti Zawar that is haram, but if it had to happen, but it's haram, just to understand the ruling. If it was a male to male also, externally, or a female to female, the same ruling applies. That's just for information, right? So we need to understand this, that if that happened, then immediately the wuzu breaks. If there's a discharge from a female, then her wuzu will break. If it's besides the haze, besides the menses, the menstruation, and from a man, then what we call mazi, precoital fluid. When a person, before he engages in intercourse, then there's a certain fluid that comes out during the preliminary stages, just to put it like that. Then, while a person is playing with his wife, then that precoital fluid comes out. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, in the hadith it is mentioned, he said, when I got married to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhu, then I was a man that used to experience this a lot. Rajulun mazza. I used to have this emission of fluid. But it wasn't seminal fluid. But I wasn't sure of the ruling, so I was having a bath. So now when a person gets married, first time he's interacting with a woman, first time his wife, he's getting excited, and this fluid is coming out, but it's not semen. So now, he said, I used to have a bath. It became hard for me. So I went and told someone, go and ask on my behalf, out of shame, that is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's own daughter, I can't go ask directly. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the ruling. No, for this you make wuzu. If it happened, then you make wuzu. The only time a person will make ghusl, and that is the next chapter which we are discussing, we're going to discuss now, inshallah, from next week. Person will make ghusl, let us explain, while they're all adults here, inshallah. Let us explain what makes ghusl, what makes it necessary upon a person, right? When a person, number one, he has a wet dream, right? A male has a wet dream, and there's an emission of seminal fluid. Now, this also, there's a lot of detail, but to make it easy, person had a dream, and he woke up, and there's no wetness on his body. Everything is fine, dry, like normal. You don't have to make ghusl. Person had a dream or didn't have a dream, he woke up and he found some wetness on his body, then he will have a ghusl. So that's one. Number two, if a person is married and there's an emission of seminal fluid after a climax, then it doesn't matter whether he had intercourse or not, that person will have to make a ghusl, male or female. Right? Third is, just the entrance of the glands of the male shaft, just the tip, the glands, the entrance of that into the female, just that much, without any emission of anything, without any climax, just the entrance, the dukhul, and then a person will have to make ghusl. That's for a male. If seminal fluid comes out of shock, or there is some condition a person got without any excitement, then there is no ghusl. And for females, obviously, haiz and nifas. That's for them. After the haiz period is complete, after the nifas period, the postnatal bleeding and the monthly bleeding, when that is complete, then they will have to make a ghusl. So that is the few cases where a person will have to make a ghusl. Now, how does a person make a ghusl? Inshallah, we'll discuss that next week. A lot of time has gone. But we must just remember that the new generation now, what I am seeing, they are only learning the farz and they're not doing the sunnah ghusl. They haven't, unfortunately, for whatever reason, they haven't adapted the sunnah method. So it's nice to check at home, our youth, our youngsters, remind them on a Friday to practice the sunnah ghusl. Because if they're not going to practice the sunnah ghusl, then that will become kal-adam, non-existent in their lives. No. Washing my whole body and gargling my mouth and putting water into my nose. And you see, now is exam time, when you go and take exams, you see the children are saying this. Put water in your nose, put water in your mouth, wash your whole body until your body is drenched with it. So, when it comes to our deen, we need to make sure that these fundamentals are in order, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Inshallah, next week, the times will be changing. Friday, Saturday, our times will be changing. So, Isha will be coming later. So, I see many places now, all the programs have moved to after Maghrib, inshallah, to make it easy. So, from next week, our program will be after Maghrib, inshallah. After Maghrib. But inshallah, we won't lengthen the program. 15-20 minutes, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.